Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. I pray for everyone in the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. We honor the best gifts of the Holy Spirit to be in operation during this broadcast, especially the gifts of healing. Satan, we rebuke you and render your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and covered with you, Father. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, will you open your Bibles to our foundational scripture on our teaching, the meaning and the importance of faith, found in Hebrews chapter 11. And follow along as I read our foundational scripture. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, God, for he who comes to God must believe that he, God, is, and that he, God, is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. Now, our title is The Meaning and the Importance of Faith. We have established that the meaning of faith is acting on what you believe. And what you believe should be the word of God, the absolute truth. In Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we want to make sure what we hear is the word of God. Secondly, we establish by the scriptures the importance of faith. The scriptures tells us as born again Christians that without faith, it is impossible to please our Heavenly Father. So that in itself lets us know the importance of faith to the believers. It doesn't say without love, it is impossible to please the Father. And love is important because 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love. It didn't say without prayer, we could not please the Father. And just as love is important, so is prayer. Because 1 Thessalonians 5:7 instructs us to pray without ceasing. But as important as these two subjects are, and we should be doers of both love and prayer in terms of our priority, for the Christian, faith is number one. In the book of Habakkuk 2:4 and Romans 1:17, it tells us that the just, and just means those who have been declared righteous, and righteous means in right standing with God. So those that have been declared righteous shall live by faith and by their faith. Are you one of the justified ones? Are you righteous in the eyes of God? That's up for you to determine by standing with God. But I would like to get into the topic of how faith works. How faith works. We will now proceed to the actual mechanics of how faith works. You're there in Hebrews, so go to Hebrews 11, verse 1. And it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." My father in the faith, the late Apostle Frederick K.C. Price, called this the technical, traditional, biblical definition of faith. He also told us to remember, you cannot apply definition to circumstances. You have to extract from the definition what the definition actually means and then apply it to the circumstances. You cannot contract a disease and then stand over the disease and say, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That will not do. And it's not good. But a definition is not going to change your circumstances. It is true that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But what does that really mean? Well, let's find out. Understand that faith has a time element to it. As I was taught on faith in the terms of the Word of God, and the more I heard the message of faith, that faith was the key that operates everything in the kingdom of God. And I learned the fact that faith has a time. There is a time when faith is faith, and there is a time when it is not. And you have to know the difference. This is one of the most important things you can ever learn about faith, and that is time. In other words, when is faith faith? I learned that faith is present tense. Faith is present tense. Faith is always now. If it is not now, it is not faith. Whenever you say, "I know God is going to do something for me," you are saying that He, God, has not already done it. Therefore, that would not be present time or present tense. It would have to be future tense. God is not a future tense God. God is a now God. God is a present tense God. God would never move on behalf of, "I know that God is going to do something." Because when you say that God is going to do something, you have denied the fact that He has already done it. You must have the understanding that faith is always present tense. Repeat that. Faith is always present tense. When we read Hebrews 11:1, it tells us, "Now faith is." Now is a noun that indicates a measure of time, meaning at the present time, at this moment, or at once. But we have a dilemma with the word "now." It is not in the original text, so it is invalid for us to use the word "now" to prove that faith is indeed now. So what do we do? If you really know me, I am one who wants to be correct or right. I figure if anyone in the world can be right, John C. McIntosh can be the one who is right. Now understand how I'm saying this. I want to be right. I do not know about you. I cannot speak to that, but I can speak for me. I want to be right, not to say that I am the one right, not so I can shine over someone else. I just want to be as accurate as I can when it comes to the Word of God. And I figure if anyone can be right, why not me? Or why not you? Why can't you be right? And frankly, that is the way you should think of yourselves. But anyway, what I am going to do with this situation, what are we going to do with this situation? Okay, we know that faith is present tense, correct? I know that faith is now. I know that if it is not now, it is not faith, and it will not measure up. What if we drop the word now at the beginning of this verse and capitalize the word faith and made it the first word of the verse? Then it would read like this. Faith is. Faith is. Then we are back in business because is present tense. Now, you could say faith was, but that would be past tense. Or you could say faith will be, and that would be future tense. But if you say faith is, that cannot be past or future. It has to be lined up with what it is, and that is present tense. Now you can juggle it around a little bit by saying faith is. Then you can say it this way. Faith is now. It doesn't really matter how you say it. It is still present tense. So the first and most important thing you want to learn about faith is that faith is always present tense. Please repeat that. Faith is always present tense. Amen. I want you to write this statement down because I want you to repeat it in your personal study time and fellowship with the Lord. So are you ready? Write this down. Faith is always present tense. If it is not present tense, if it is not now, it is not faith, and it will not work. Let me repeat that again. Faith is always present tense. If it is not present tense, if it is not now, it is not faith, and it will not work. Amen. Now think with me for a moment. When you say, or you hear somebody say, I know God is going to do something. But the question I like to ask you, is that a statement of faith? The answer is obvious. It is no. It is not a statement of faith. Now, it is praiseworthy that you have that kind of belief that God is going to do something. But what does that have to do with faith? Because it is not faith. It will never come to pass according to God's word because he has already done it. You have to confess or say what God says. You have to say what God says. If God's word is to produce results in your circumstances, the way God sees it, is the way you should see it. The way God says it is the way you should say it. The way God does it is the way you should do it. And the results God expects are the results you should expect. To be in faith, to be in what? To be in faith, you have to agree with God. Amen. You cannot confess that you know God is going to. That is not faith. Now, please go to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4, verse number 19. And let's look at this. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, the scripture says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to your riches, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, in your personal study time, this verse is a very good verse, but let's make this verse personal to you by substituting the words "your needs" with the words "my needs," according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So it would read like this: "And my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That brings it just a little bit more personal to you. And I believe that it will give you a different feel or timbre for the understanding of God's word. Amen. God's word is alive. Now make it three-dimensional. "For the word of God is alive, living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Amen. What you have to confess is, "Praise God, I believe that all my needs are met." That is your confession of faith, which is in agreement with God's word. That is what activates God's power on your behalf. Amen. That is what activates God's word on your behalf. It's being in agreement with God. Amen. Now, that is present tense. It did not say "were met," which is past tense. And it did not say "going to be met," which is future tense. You should believe that all your needs are met because God said it in his word. It said, "And my God shall supply." Amen. And so if he shall supply it, it's already done. Let's look at healing, for example. Let's look at healing, for example, when it comes to faith. Amen. So please, let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. People often say things like, "I know God is able to," and "I know God is going to." But the question is that faith? Remember, our subject is faith. You have to say what God says. Now, in reference to healing, let's look at what God said. Are you there at Matthew 8? Well, please go to verse 17. 8:17. And it says, "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." Now, let's examine that verse in context with thoughtfulness. "He himself" refers to Jesus Christ. It says "he himself took" is past tense. To say "he himself took our infirmities and bore." Bore is a past tense designation. Now think with me for a moment. If he took them and bore them, that indicates that he has them and you doesn't. So, if he took them and he bore them, we no longer have them. That indicates that he has them and he doesn't want us to bear them. So that makes us free from them. Amen. Now let's go to the prophet Isaiah 53 and see what was spoken by him in regards to our healing. That's Isaiah 53. And we're going to read verse 4 and 5. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. So if you found it, I will read and you will follow along. And it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Amen. By his stripes, we are what? We are healed. Now, I told you once again that when you're in your personal study time, you need to take some of these scriptures and make them personal. This way you can bring the word alive to you. So in this particular passage, I want to show you, or you can write in your Bibles, I want you to change some words. So Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, I changed it in mine and made it personal to me by using these words. In verse number 4, it says, surely he has borne our griefs. So instead of saying our, say my griefs. And then also in verse number 5, it says he was wounded for our transgressions. Make that he was wounded for my transgressions. The next verse where it says he was bruised for our iniquities, he was bruised for my iniquities. And then the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And then by his stripes, I am healed. You see that? You see how personal that is? So if you would read it, it would read like this. Surely he has borne my griefs and carried my sorrows. Yet we were esteemed with him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by his stripes, I am healed. Amen. And so we see here that by Jesus' stripes, you are already healed. You were healed. Were is past tense. Amen. So you are healed. You're not going to say, you know God is going to do. No, God has already done. Now, please go to 1 Peter 2:24, and let's see what it says there. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. It says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The word were is past tense, indicative of the fact that the time of action has already been taken. Notice it does not say by whose stripes you are being healed. That would be present tense. It does not say by whose stripes you shall be healed. Shall be is future tense. But he said, by whose stripes you are healed. So if you were, you are. And if you are, you is. Now faith is. Amen, amen. Did you get that? Let's go over that one more time. That scripture in 1 Peter 2:4, it says this, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, if he says you were healed, then you are. And if you are, you is. Now faith is. Amen. Do you see what I'm talking about when it comes to faith? Amen. All the promises of God are present tense. You have to take all the promises of God and see them in the present tense. In the natural, you may be having a challenge. In the natural, Satan will be trying to put something on you, but your response to that has to be what God says. If his power is to be released on your behalf, you have to confess, I believe I am healed. And I have to confess that I'm out of time. But please return to us next week as we will continue our teaching on the importance and the meaning of faith. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.